Hallelujah. God is still in the restoration business. Amen. I want you to touch your neighbor now and just remind them, neighbor, God is still in the restoration business. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Saints, today I want to pick up where Pastor Rick left off last week as he ended his series on King David and the consequences of his choice to sin by committing adultery, then committing murder, and then trying to stage a failed cover-up, and then the pain and anger and the humiliation and the suffering and sorrow that resulted for him, for his family, and for the entire nation. And Pastor Ricky ended his sermon with John 10:10, in which Jesus says, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that you might have it to the full." Hallelujah. And saints, God wants you and I to experience life to its fullest. Amen. Jesus wants us to enjoy the abundant life. So would you just touch your neighbor and just say, neighbor, Jesus wants us to enjoy the abundant life. Hallelujah. Jesus wants us to enjoy the abundant life. Amen. So we're going to focus on living the abundant life this day. But before we begin, saints, let's join in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, Lord God, Jehovah Jireh, God Almighty, we praise you. You have made heaven and earth by your great power and outstretched arms, and there is nothing too hard for you. And we are praising you that you are still in the restoration business today. And we are reminded in Romans that you said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we thank you for your word this day. And we ask, Lord, that you would anoint the preaching of your word. Lord, that we would be not just hearers today, but go forth doers of your precious and beautiful and holy word. We ask this ahead of time that you might be greatly glorified in and through our lives, and that we would experience that abundant life that you came to give us. And we give you praise ahead of time in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's saints said, amen, amen. Saints, if you would please turn with me to your sermon outline. Amen. It's inserted there in your bulletin. We've got great news today. Now, John 10, Peter read our passage for us, but I'm going to ask that we go down to verse 7, and let's just reread those few three verses there together. Together. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen. Amen. Saints, John uses many images in his gospel, but my favorite one is the one of shepherd. Like a shepherd, Jesus is concerned for the welfare of his sheep. He is concerned for the care of his sheep. The shepherd loves the sheep, and Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. Now, saints, notice he didn't call himself King Jesus. He didn't call himself Commissioner Jesus. He didn't call himself President Jesus. He didn't call himself Elder or Deacon Jesus. He didn't call himself Reverend Jesus or even Chairman Jesus. But he called himself a shepherd, a servant, a caregiver, a watchman, a provider. Jesus called himself a shepherd. And what really stands out, saints, in my mind, and as we read Psalm 100, that we are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. That's us, y'all. Amen. And know it or not, saints, we depend on God for everything. And just as a shepherd watches over the sheep, so God watches over God's children. Now, amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, in our passage, we see two caretakers are mentioned in this account, the good shepherd and the hired hand. Now, the hired hand has no connection with the sheep, no relationship with the sheep. The hired hand always thought of himself first and then the sheep last. So if a sheep was attacked by a wolf or if a sheep was lost, if it was the hired hand, it was like, well, oh, well, you know, they're gone. That's the hired hand. But then there is the good shepherd. The good shepherd is the owner of the sheep. The good shepherd has a special relationship with them. Now, saints, most owners didn't own a whole lot of sheep. A flock of 100 was huge. Most flocks were only 10 to 20 in number. And sheep were like valued pets. They were like family. There was nothing about their sheep that a good shepherd didn't know. For example, the individual sheep in a flock may look alike to the untrained eye. But a good shepherd can tell them apart because of their little markings and their peculiar traits. A shepherd explaining to his friend would say, you see that one over there? You see how its toes kind of come in a little bit? Well, I call that one pigeon. That's my little pigeon. Or you see the one over there and it's got a little patch of wool out of its back. And you see the one over there, it's got like a little black mark under its eye. And he would just go through. And then he would know each one by name. He said, you see that one? That's Patchy. And that's Scratchy. And that's Cornbread. That's Bruno. That's Bojo. That's Tweedlebum. That's Bit. That's Bop. And he would know every single one of them. Hallelujah. By name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you know all of us by name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. The good shepherd lives with the sheep day and night, and night and day. And he was always there for them. You see, saints, a shepherd, in order to know his sheep and to care for his sheep, has to live among the sheep. Amen. Shepherd has to be close to them. And Jesus came all the way from heaven to earth to be close to the sheep. Hallelujah. The good shepherd even became a sheep. The good shepherd even took on our nature, saints, and lived a life just like us, except without sin. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus knows the peculiar traits. How many know you got some peculiar traits today? Amen. Don't try to deny it. Amen. All of us got something peculiar about us. Hallelujah. And Jesus knows those peculiar traits. Amen. And he watches over his flock and loves us with love and concern. Truly, he knows our name. He knows every thought, saints, and he sees each tear that falls and hears us when we call. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. But, everybody say but. But the enemy, like a wolf, like a thief, will always, everybody say always, always try to rob God's children. The enemy will always try to rob God's children. The text today says that the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's why Peter reminds believers to be sober. Because the devil never stops looking for a chance to steal from us. And even a chance to enlist us to steal from others. All right. Satan is behind it all. So let me ask you this today. Have you ever had anything stolen from you? Anybody here, you've had something stolen from you. It's very frustrating to discover that something you value and you see, wow, it's been taken by some thief somewhere. So most of us have had something stolen, either be money, CD, items of clothing, jewelry. And occasionally we've had big things stolen from us, say like a car. Anybody had a car stolen? All right, quite a few of us. And then it gets bigger. Some have even had their career stolen from them. All right, some, you know, you get so old and all of a sudden they ready to let you go. Or just all kinds of things to get our career stolen. It get even bigger than that. Some have even had their wife or their husband stolen. All right. That's how big it gets. Now, amen, amen. Now, people will steal anything these days. They will steal the aluminum siding off your house. They will steal the copper pipes out of your house. They'll steal paintings. They'll steal your laundry out the laundromat. If you go across the street to get something and you come back, your clothes are gone. Yeah, that's right. You might even have a guard dog, a pit bull or whatever. Before you know it, they done stole the dog and the dog's house too. People will steal your computer, then they'll steal with your computer. They'll steal your ID, amen. They'll steal your password and your credit. As one couple was saying, he said, people will steal your medicine. They'll steal your syringes and your aspirins. They'll even steal your leftover Viagra too. Hallelujah. And she said, sure enough. Sure enough. She said, people will even steal your wigs, your weaves, and your fingernails too. So make sure you got them glued on good. Because if you're not looking, they're going to be missing. People will steal your trash and your trash can. That's why they tell us now, put your trash through a shredder. Don't just throw your bills and different things and have your account number. Shred them. Because people steal trash now. They go stealing trash. People will steal cell phones. They'll steal your minutes. They'll steal your ringtones too. People will steal your toilet tissue. People will steal the gasoline out your car. Amen. Amen. All right, saints. If it could be done, there would be people who would steal the wet out of water. They would do it if they could do it. They would steal the white out of rice. They would steal the sweet out of sugar. And they'd steal the fire, hallelujah, out of hot. Amen. If they could, if they could. People will steal. And it hurts when someone steals something from us. I had shared with you all before when I was at school, St. Louis University, and money was so, so tight. And I went to the grocery store to get my groceries for the week. And I was robbed looking at the chicken. I set my purse where you put a baby at. I turned around looking at from that chicken, and there was no purse in that cart. And they ended up finding my purse behind the paper towels. It was totally empty. And I had to leave the store with not one drop of food. And it was a rough week, but the Lord made a way. I ate all week. But it felt really bad because they took my license. They wouldn't even throw my wallet. They didn't even leave my wallet for me. So that was a lean week for me. And it hurts when someone steals from us. Amen. And it's bad when somebody steals something from us. Besides, it's even worse when we wake up one day and we realize that the devil has stolen our thirst for spiritual growth in the Lord. When we wake up one day and realize Satan has stolen the joy of our salvation. That's when we realize that we don't pray like we used to. We don't sing and praise like we used to. We don't worship like we used to. We don't have the faith like we used to. We had it at one time, but we allowed the devil to steal it, either through the world or through our own fleshly desires. Well, friend, if you enjoyed that relationship with God and somehow you've lost it, you should enjoy the rest of others, amen, who are just frustrated and say today, I know, devil, that God is still in the recovery business. And devil, you are a liar. And I want the abundant life that the good shepherd has for me. I want God's best for me. Hallelujah. Saints, Jesus warns us to be on guard for thieves who will try to rob us of what God has for us. Jesus wants us to enjoy the abundant life. Now, saints, God can help those who have lost through the tricks of the devil to get that joy back just by saying, devil, you're a liar, and I want the abundant life that God has promised. You see, saints, someone may have closed the door in our faces. Maybe because we were black. Maybe because we were a woman. Maybe because we were handicapped. And it got some of us so discouraged. We just got so discouraged that we lost hope and we gave up. You know, the devil stole our dreams perhaps because we failed to graduate. Or maybe we failed in some business endeavor. We failed in some relationship or failed in a career or somewhere in our personal life. And maybe you're feeling discouraged today. You know, if the devil has stolen your dreams, it's time for you to stare the devil down and tell the devil, devil, you are a liar. And in the name of Jesus, I want God's best for me. Now, saints, I want to say, start dreaming again. Because Joel, it's already been prophesied over we God's people. Joel 2:28, because it tells us that we will dream dreams as God's people. Hallelujah. So touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, start dreaming again. Start dreaming again. Start dreaming again, neighbor. Start dreaming again. Dream. You know what? I just want to take for an example. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. They have electrified the nation. And I know because of one thing. They are helping people to dream again. African American people. Here we are dreaming again about possibilities because of Barack Obama. We're dreaming again. And you know what? Women, we are once again dreaming. And we're seeing that barriers can be overcome because of Hillary. You know, to tell you the truth, I didn't think that I was going to be able to see an African American president or a woman president before I left this earth. I just didn't know if I was going to get to see that. But you know what? Both Obama and Clinton, praise God, they're both attempting what was thought to be impossible, hallelujah, and their dreams and their quests bubble down to each of us. And I'm so excited. Aren't you excited? Praise God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. But you know what, saints? Too many among us have stopped dreaming. We have given up. All together. We once dreamed of graduating from here or there, breaking the ceiling in one area or another. But we see even in the church, saints, people who are living without hope, without ambition, without dreams, because the devil has stolen their dreams. Anybody know someone like that? Well, my dad was one such person who was bright, and God had blessed him with a good job. And he had ran into so many roadblocks. And then there came a day, this last situation, when him and my mom were going to build a house. And they had it all together. And all they had to do is come in and sign. And they went. And when the people actually saw that they were black, they said, oh, they took them papers back. And they brought out a whole new plan. And it was a little tiny house. And they said, no, that's all we're going to, you know, go with you all on. And my mom said she could see that something that day. It was like one roadblock too many for him. And that day, he got so discouraged. She said she could see him throw in the towel. You know, in the boxing world, that when you throw in the towel, it's like, it's over. Just give up. And so he started depending more on alcohol than anything else. And you know what? His choice was not good for him. And it wasn't good for us as a family. It wasn't good. And that's not God's plan for us, saints. You know, Jesus came that we might enjoy abundant life, that we might enjoy victory, even in the midst of all kinds of trials and tribulations and discriminations and setbacks. One writer wrote, and we sang today, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, because victory today is mine. Now, saints, television commercials claim that the abundant life goes along with drinking beer. It goes along with wearing a certain kind of tennis shoe, driving a certain type of car, looking a certain way. But, saints, we can't find abundant life in a can or in a bottle, no matter what Puff Daddy says in his commercials. We cannot find abundant life in a pair of tennis shoes. We can't find abundant life in a car or in a house. We can't find abundant life in a capsule or in a pill. We can't find it in marijuana or in crack, saints, or any other kind of drug. John 10:10 says that abundant living is found only in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. Touch your neighbor and say, only in Jesus. Only! Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And through the devil's empty promises and pictures of fame and money and drugs, he steals. He steals and he kills and he destroys people. But God, oh hallelujah, ever say, but God. But God, but God's idea is different, saints. Oh, praise your name, Lord God. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life. Have it more abundantly and experience it to the full. Amen. And saints, one of the secrets to abundant living is service. Everybody say service. Service. Service to God and service to others. Now, saints, there are a lot of folks who don't want to serve nobody. They don't want to do anything for anybody except for themselves. But saints, if we love and serve Christ, then we're going to love and serve others. Hallelujah. And in loving and serving others, we learn how to live the abundant life. Now, please look with me at our sermon note sheet on the second page. Look there at number 3. Let's say that together. Abundant living is a total surrender to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Abundant living is a total surrender to Jesus Christ. Yes, it is a lifetime commitment to love and serve Him. So even if a person is in good health, even if they've attained a lot of wealth, they have a wonderful family, they drive in a luxury car, they live in a beautiful house, even if they've got all of this, yet never experience the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, he or she isn't living. They are merely existing. And I hate to say it today, saints, but some of us are not really living. We're existing. We're like dead, dried up bones in the valley. That's why some of us, we can't even hardly praise the Lord. When it's time to praise the Lord, we just so cool and, oh, we can't lift our hands. We can't sing. We can't shout. Oh, that's why some of us can't praise. Oh, hallelujah. Now, somebody said anything dead ought to be buried. And I'm a man afraid that some of us need to be buried today. Woo! Yes, we do. It's the truth. Amen. Some of us need to be buried. Now, this leads us, saints, to number 4. Let's read it together. Abundant living does not exist until we have completely committed ourselves to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our commitment must compel us to say no to temptation and no to everything that is contrary to the word of God. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about just lip service, saints. A lot of us say, for God I live and for God I'll die. Oh, but it's only lip service. Because when it comes time to face the challenges of this life, when it comes time to just stand your post of duty, when it comes time to be fully committed, we're nowhere to be found. Saints, we either have to commit to the things of the world or commit to God. It's no in between. It's either commit to the world or commit to God. Jesus told the church in Laodicea, Jesus said, I know your works. They're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Saints, I believe that the problem with us today is that the church has too many half-hearted Christians. Too many half-hearted Christians in it. Now, I don't want you to look around at anybody. Don't look around. Don't look around. Nobody look around. Everybody keep looking this way. Now, these Christians think that they're getting away with their lack of commitment to God and to God's word. But the Bible says that half-hearted Christians are lukewarm and that no one can serve two masters. He or she will either hate the one and love the other or love the one and hate the other. And it's sad to say, saints, that there are too many folk who think that they're right with God, but they're lukewarm and they don't even know it. Oh, dear friend, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, You are just beginning to really live. Hallelujah. You then have eternal life now while you live on this earth. And heaven, not hell, is your destination. But if you do not accept Jesus Christ, your life lacks the best things that are here on earth. Love, joy, peace, hallelujah. And you are headed toward eternal death. Now, it's your choice. Just touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's your choice. It is your choice, neighbor. It's your choice. It's your choice. You can either have abundant life, hallelujah, and eternal life here with heaven waiting for you. Or you can have Satan's so-called good life with eternal death waiting just over the hilltop. It is your choice. Now, saints, fifthly, let's read that together. Abundant living grows out of church membership. Saints, church membership. A church member is more than just having your name on the roll book. Amen. All right. It is being a part of the family of God, the body of Jesus Christ. I want you to just touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, God don't need no part-time Christians. Don't need no part-time Christians. Amen. So church membership, it means faithful service to God and to our church. Hallelujah. Everybody say faithful. Faithful. And it means fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Amen. It means giving. Everybody say giving. Giving of our time, our talents. Amen. Our tithes. Hallelujah. And it means being involved in the mission. Amen. We've been made for a mission. Amen. And the ministries that our church has to offer. Now, Pastor Rick, Pastor Kelly, and myself, as pastors, we hear over and over like a broken old record. Many folks saying that they belong to such and such a church. All right. Even though they haven't been inside that church for years and years and years. God don't need no part-time Christians. Hallelujah. Amen. God has more for us than that. Now let's look at number six together. Abundant living also means separating ourselves from the world. Amen. The Bible says we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. You see, when we're born again, there are some things, saints, that we just don't do. When you are full of God, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, and you are full of the things of God, you have a new walk. Hallelujah. You got a new talk. Amen. You act differently. Praise God. You listen to different music. Praise God. Amen. Now, we pastors, we have heard some ringtones on some of the cell phones right here in our family that are not fitting for children of God. And there have been a few voicemails that I'm like, did I dial the wrong number? Did I just hear what I just heard? Let me try that again. What? Not fitting for Christians. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you drink different beverages. You think differently. As a child of God, you need to lay aside worldliness. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, we got to lay aside worldliness. We got to lay aside worldliness. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. According to the word of God, anything that is in not line with the word of God is worldly. And yes, we have to live in this world, but we don't have to be a part of the sin. We don't have to be a part of the rebellion that is in this world. Amen. Now let's read number seven together. Abundant living means living your life according to God's word. Hallelujah. You can't follow God unless you're going God's way. Hallelujah. Have you ever tried to journey with someone who was going the opposite way of the way you were going. It's not possible. It don't work. You must be going in the same direction in order to journey together with someone. Now, when you are going in the same direction, that means you're involved in the same things and you see what matters most in the same way. Hallelujah. And you can journey then together. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be in agreement? Amen. So saints, it's time that church folk, everybody say church folk, church folk quit walking with Mr. Beer, Mr. Malt Liquor, and Mr. Wine Cooler. It's time. It's time for church folk to have a shut-in here at the church instead of closing the bars. It's time for church folk to start dancing up and down the aisles of the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Instead of dancing at the nightclubs. Since the word of God says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise your name, Holy Spirit. Since God wants God's people to enjoy the abundant life, to enjoy life, to have fun. It is so much fun being in the Lord Jesus Christ, saints. And you know what? When you have fun in God, you can get up the next morning and you don't have a hangover. Right. Hallelujah! Praise God! In fact, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, praise your name, you can have an everlasting high. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to keep getting a fix. God will take you on a spiritual high from which you need never have to come down from. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Which leads us to number 8. Let's read that together. Abundant living is enjoying intimate fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Intimate fellowship with God. Intimate fellowship with God, saints, results from spiritual disciplines in our lives. Two of which are prayer and Bible study. That's just two of the spiritual disciplines. Now, some folks will grab a Bible and they'll just say, well, it's my duty to read the word, and they'll just open it up anywhere and put their finger. Now, you know what? That's not the best way, amen, to do your scripture reading. You may put your finger and it says, and he went and hung himself. It's in there. It's in there. That's not the best way, amen. Bible study is diligent reading and meditating on God's holy word. Now, prayer, another spiritual discipline, it's talking to God. Now, if you really know the Lord, you ought to be able to talk with the Lord anywhere and anytime. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I'd go to the White House and I'd tell President Bush today, for God I'll live, yes, and for God I will die. And saints, we all need to be growing spiritually in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I hate to say it, saints, but some folks' prayers are like the ones when they were a little child. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's all right when you are learning as a child, my friend. But you see, when you're really in communion with God, oh, you grow beyond that. Amen. And it becomes like the old song. And yes, God walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, oh, no other has ever known. Praise your name. It gets to be that good. It gets to be that good. Hallelujah. So saints, how do we know we are living the abundant life? Well, it's when we know and act upon the fact that our sins have been forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving all my sins. Thank you for forgiving my sins, my failures, my shortcomings. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And because of that, we should shine as bright lights in this dark world, knowing that we're made for a mission and being on that mission, saints, telling others what God has done for us and what he's done for us, he can do for them as well. And then we should rise up and go out and warn men and warn women and warn girls and boys that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And saints, looking at our sheet, we'll also know that we're living the abundant life. And let's read number 9 together. When we're living the abundant life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then let's read the next one together. The abundant life when we commune with God and put God's word first. Hallelujah! When we commune with God and put God's word first in everything. When the world has forsaken us and we feel all alone, Jesus tells us, "Woo! I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, I'm a friend who stick closer than a brother." And when the responsibilities of life just seem so heavy and they've come on us like a flood and we're feeling overwhelmed, you can hear Jesus say to you, "You can do all things, hallelujah, through me who will strengthen you." So prepare for victory. High five your neighbor right now and tell him, prepare for victory, neighbor. Prepare for victory. Prepare for victory. Hallelujah. Every one of us facing difficulties and frustrations and problems, we shouldn't throw in the towel, but prepare for victory. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether God fights the battle for us or God fights the battle with us. It doesn't matter, because God has already promised it in the name of the Lord. We are guaranteed victory. Hallelujah. In Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 8:37, it says, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Hallelujah. So if you're facing any trouble today, don't throw in the towel. Oh, because Jesus said, in the time of trouble, I'll be your pavilion. Amen. You may feel helpless today, but don't throw in the towel, because like David, in Psalm 121, I will lift my eyes into the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. If you're feeling alone today, don't throw in the towel. Because John 14:18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. Hallelujah. I will come to you. I will be with you to the end of the earth. You may be feeling trapped today with nowhere to turn. Don't throw in the towel, because the Lord has promised to make a way out for you. You might feel weighted down today by some heavy load in your life. Don't throw in the towel. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. For Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody might feel overwhelmed today. But you know what? Don't throw in the towel, because the word is declaring, the one that overcomes, to that one they will inherit all things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You might feel like giving up today. You just want to just throw your hands up. Just give up. Don't throw in the towel. Instead, say, Lord, I stretch my hands to you. Oh, God, no other help I know. Don't throw in the towel. Get ready to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Scripture says, Israel, praise the Lord for the victory that was on the way. Encourage your neighbor right now and tell him, victory is on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. Victory is on the way. On the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. Praise God for the blessings that are on the way, saints. As Michael said earlier, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Hallelujah. In good times or bad times, when it's easy or when it's not, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait until the battle is over. I remember Barbara Collier. She was the founder of CIC, the Cleveland Interfaith Choir. Barbara used to always say, rejoice while you wait on the Lord. Rejoice while you watch the Lord work mightily and show himself strong to you. Rejoice. Shout. You can shout now, because God is still on the throne. That's why we can shout. God is still on the throne. We can shout because God still hears and answers prayers. We can shout because God is able to accomplish whatever concerns you today. You can shout. You can shout today because God has sent Jesus to command the outcome of our battles. Jesus has all power, saints. Jesus demonstrated that we may have our Garden of Gethsemane. We may have our times when we ourselves are nailed to the cross. We ourselves have lost our dreams, our ability to dream. There are times when we might feel defeated and buried in our graves, but we can shout hallelujah. We can shout hallelujah. Don't throw in the towel. Call on Jesus. He said, call on me. I'll show you great and mighty things. Don't throw in the towel. Trust in me. Trust in the Lord. Saints, and then as you trust, you'll be able to sing the words to that old song. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, oh, and I promise him that I would serve him till I die, oh, I'm on the battlefield. Would you rise and let's conclude this message together? Here we go. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, and I forgot till I die. We'll turn into my hearts in prayer. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that in you, Lord Jesus, we have a true and good shepherd. And we come together as sheep of your fold to worship you today and to say thank you. And we pray, oh God, that you would help us to draw close to you, that by your love and our attentive listening, we may become so familiar with Christ's voice that we will not be deceived or led astray by any other. Oh God, continue to nurture and equip each and all of us as faithful people of God, made for a mission, living according to Christ's example. Oh, making us more like Jesus is our prayer today. And we pray it in his mighty and glorious name. And all God's joyous and victorious and abundant living saints join together to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Saints, the door of the church is open. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here without Jesus today. Jesus is standing here with his arms wide open. And he's knocking at the door of your heart today. And he has life, not only eternally, but abundantly right now here on this earth. And today, if you've already given your heart to the Lord, but the devil has stolen your thirst for spiritual growth, and you feel that you're not the same that you were some years ago, you might feel that something is missing, then you can say, I want God's best. I want that abundant life. We want to invite you to come forward today.